And our scripture reading for this afternoon comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we will read the first 24 verses. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you.' But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." And he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." As far as scripture reading for this afternoon, our focus and our text for this evening comes to us from Luke chapter 10 and verses 21 and 22. And there we read, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So dear congregation, what makes you happy in your life? What is it that provides happiness for you? Is it when things are going well? Is it when you're successful? Or maybe children, you come home from school and you tell your parents all about what happened, how you did well on the exam, how you won at a game. But what about when things go wrong? Do you lose all happiness? When you can no longer be successful in what you're trying to do? When things don't turn out the way you expect? Where do you find true joy? Because everybody wants happiness or joy. And isn't the world very busy in trying to provide this happiness for you? But you realize, don't you, that everything the world offers is temporary, that it's all external. Because here's where we need to distinguish between the word happiness and the word joy. Because happiness is external. Happiness is produced by things outside of us, things that are provided for us in this world, and they're temporal, and it's earthly. But joy has a deeper sense. Joy is spiritual. Joy is internal. And joy is always accompanied with peace and with comfort, and that's because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is something given by God, and so it's an attitude also of the heart that God produces in the soul of His people. And even if you look up the definition comparing happiness and joy, some people even write that joy is synonymous with following Christ. That joy and following Christ have the same meaning. And so, when we consider about what the world tries to provide you, one pastor put it this way. He said, the entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. Because we cannot find that lasting joy, we try to find it in something in this world. The world tries to provide you with this entertainment to fill that void that you might have. And it can give temporary happiness, but it replaces true joy. And here in this passage, we see the disciples, they come back to Jesus, it says, full of joy, after Jesus had sent them out to preach. And if you look at verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now there's something to rejoice about. The disciples had received such power, and they see that the demons are subject to them in the name of Jesus. And so they rejoiced, and they had great reason to rejoice. And then Jesus himself rejoiced in verse 21, where it says that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit because of what was happening here on earth. But in the verse before it, Jesus says something very interesting. In verse 20, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's saying, do not rejoice because things seem to be going well here now for you. It is good and proper to be filled with joy, certainly, especially when things are going well, but what will happen when it does not go well? Because you do remember the times as well where the disciples had to come back to Jesus and say, why couldn't we cast them out? Why couldn't we cast out those demons? There are many days where it will not go well for us. And then, where do we find our joy? And in what do we rejoice? Well, Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, that his desire was that his joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And so where does Jesus' joy come from? And how do you share in that joy of Christ? Well, Jesus here says that your focus and the source of your joy needs to change from the external things to the giver of the things in your life. If we focus on how successful we are even in the service of God, then we're focusing on the blessings and on the benefits that God provides for us. And they will come and go. And those are only the substitutes, those are only the external benefits of the real joy, but your joy must be anchored deeper. Because true joy is anchored in eternity, in the unchanging and triune God. And so Jesus says, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So the true joy of the believer is found in your life in Christ himself. And so Jesus directs our focus to that source of the Christian's joy. And the joy in following Christ then is found not merely in the benefits and the blessings that God provides for you in this life. It's not found in the outward circumstances of your life, but it's found in the reality of your salvation. As Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so to follow Christ is to live in his joy, which is rooted in eternity. And so in this text this afternoon, these verses 21 through 24 are one section, and there's basically three things that the Lord Jesus is pointing out here, but we'll focus on the first two in verses 21 through and 22. And so our theme then this afternoon is the joy in following Christ. And in the first place, then we'll see that it's grounded in the good pleasure of the Father, and secondly, it's revealed through the saving work of the Son. So first, then, the joy of the believer is grounded in the good pleasure of the Father, because Scripture teaches us that the good pleasure of the Father is to save sinners, that from eternity, God has determined to save sinners through his Son, and that is the origin of your salvation. If you look again at verse 21, it says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And that word good, there you can literally translate it to say, it was well-pleasing before you. And so what is then well-pleasing to God the Father? What does the good pleasure mean? Well, this good pleasure means goodwill or good desire or favor towards you, towards someone. Paul in Romans 10, verse 1, he said, his heart's desire, that's the same word but translated in a different context here, his heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. So here Paul's desire, Paul's good pleasure, was that the Israelites would be saved. But Paul could only preach and teach the people. He could not save the people. For him, it was merely a desire. But God here shows his desire and his good pleasure towards sinners through Christ. In Luke 2, verse 14, when Christ was born, the angels there sang, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. The same word again is used there. It's showing that when Christ was born, it was showing the good pleasure of the Father towards sinners on this earth. The goodwill of God is more than just a desire, but it's his certain intention of his gracious favor upon men in Christ. And if you look at Psalm 30, verse 5, it says there, in his favor is life, eternal life. Because he ordained sinners to eternal life. So in the favor of God is eternal life. And that good pleasure, Paul says, was already there from eternity. In Ephesians 1, he writes, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is the good pleasure of the Father to choose sinners to salvation through Jesus Christ. And so the question is, how does he do that? Well, again, Ephesians 1 verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. And there he's speaking about the redemption of sinners, about the forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. And here where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples to go preach the gospel, and we hear that they come back rejoicing and so exuberant because they hear the people have responded, the demons were subject to the disciples in Jesus' name. And in verse 18, Jesus says that he saw Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Satan losing his power and grip on the people on this earth through the power of Christ. He can no longer hold those sinners in his grasp any longer. And that is when Jesus acknowledges his Father as the sovereign creator and ruler. And he says in Luke 21 there, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. This is a salvation that God hides from the wise and the prudent, from those like the Pharisees who think they know it so well and who do not want to trust in Christ, those who do not want to believe the gospel, those who are proud in their own ways, in their own understanding, or think that they are good enough to enter heaven on their own, or other people who think religion is foolish and that they pride themselves in their wisdom or in their science or in their study, and such as evolution. God hides his salvation from many of those people. But he says he reveals it unto babes. It doesn't mean here babies, but it means those who are simple, childlike in their trust in God, trusting in God's wisdom as so much greater than our limited wisdom. They're the spiritual young, the spiritual children, you could say, that the simple, those who fear God, those who want to learn to know God, who know God has created us, and we need God for that life, for with God there is life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21 says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So where do we find that joy? Well, why are some people who are even born or raised in the church and hear the preaching of life and of death most of their life, but later they reject the gospel and they leave? While there's others who come in and who hear the word of God and they're convicted and they believe and they trust and they are saved. Because we all begin in the same place. We all begin spiritually dead. We all begin blind and dead by nature in the grips of power and the power of Satan and sin. Why is it that you here tonight believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because of the good pleasure of God the Father to reveal that to you. Or why is it that you tonight do not believe? Is it because you are too wise in your own eyes and have not submitted to the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus? Because without God's favor, you will have no true lasting joy. You may have some happiness in this world, but it will end with the world, and there will be no eternal joy or peace. But here the Lord Jesus rejoiced, it says, because he saw the good pleasure of his Father being worked out. He saw the power of Satan being broken, and he saw the elect and chosen people coming to believe and to be saved. And Jesus says that the real reason to rejoice is not found in the blessings, but rather in the foundation that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because God has revealed that salvation in his good pleasure to your heart. And Jesus rejoices in that reality. And his joy is to be your joy. And the blessings in our life and a success given to you through Christ in overcoming sin and doing his will should cause you to look deeper to the cause and to the root, to the good pleasure of God the Father himself. And we can ask, is God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure? As Philippians 2:13 says, because what made you what you are today? Because if we are honest with ourselves, it was not because we were so willing to count the cost and to follow Christ. It was not because we were so willing to leave everything and follow Christ. It's not because we could overcome the power of sin in our life ourselves. It's not because we could cast out Satan ourselves, was it? Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, made us alive, it says. God of his own good pleasure has saved you from the power of your sins, broken the chains of sin that held you, delivered you from the power of darkness. And isn't that what Jesus told his disciples in John 15:16? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. How do we rejoice when things do not go well in our life? There's been many heartache this week, many difficulties this past year. How do we find joy? How do we rejoice? By recognizing that our salvation is not grounded in the changing external circumstances or blessings. That your salvation is not grounded even in your faith. That's not the foundation. That's not the basis of your salvation. And all the blessings God brings to us can only give temporal joy. But Jesus says, look further, anchor deeper in the eternal good pleasure of God the Father, and rejoice only because your names are written in heaven. That is where true joy flows from. Joy comes from knowing that God the Father has looked upon you in his good pleasure, revealed Christ to your soul despite who you are, despite the circumstances that you are in. And so that is what we see in our second thought, revealed through the saving work of the Son. Luke 10, verse 22 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The work of Christ is both to accomplish that salvation and to reveal that salvation. And the good pleasure of the Father is to reveal his salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we know about God comes through Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 18 says, No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And we need the Son to reveal God to us, because we cannot see God. We cannot find out God by doing research or by trying to seek for him our own ways. No one knows who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills or desires to reveal him. It's impossible for a finite created creature to search out the infinite spiritual God. And that's why many people try to say that there is no God, because they can't find him. They can't reason him out in their mind. They can't find him through their science. They can't see him. And that's because we are born spiritually blind and separated from God. We do not know God. But there's another reason attached to that. And it's actually the mercy of God that we do not find him in our sin. Because if we could see God, we would have to be cast away from him forever. Because no sinner can stand before such a holy God. He cannot look upon sin, but must in his justice punish all sin eternally. But now here in Christ, God shows his good pleasure and his favor towards us instead of his wrath. God has chosen in his good pleasure to show his favor and his face and his kindness towards you through Jesus Christ. And here Christ reveals that we need to know God. We need to know him. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So what is it then to know God? Because Luke 16:15 says that God knows your hearts. That God knows everything about each one of us in this world perfectly. But then he says in Matthew 7, verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." God has a perfect knowledge of us. And we can know so much about God in our mind and yet not truly know God. But we need to know him personally. We need to know the favor of God experientially, savingly in our heart. We need to know that joy that is accompanied with peace and comfort that comes only by knowing the favor and the good pleasure of God. Because knowing the triune God is eternal life. In his favor is life. And that knowledge comes to you through Jesus Christ. And he reveals it to whoever he wills. If you think about Esther, as she went into the palace to see the king, she was looking for his favor. Because if she did not receive his favor, her life would end. But he held out his scepter, and it was accepted. She found favor in his sight. And we stand before an almighty King of heaven and earth. And if we do not find his favor, he will cast us out eternally. But in his favor there is life. And it is the Son now who has been given this authority to reveal him to his elect. "All things," verse 22 says, "have been delivered to me by my Father." This work of salvation is through Christ alone, and outside of Jesus Christ there is no salvation, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to be saved in this world. And Jesus came to do the work his Father gave him to do. And when he was finished, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And he came because those elect have been chosen before the foundation of the world. All those would be his. And he would come to redeem each one of those people who of themselves could never redeem themselves. And Christ's joy and Christ's delight is to reveal his Father and his Father's good pleasure to his people, to poor and needy sinners, to you even today. And your joy is found in Christ alone. And so how does Christ reveal the Father? Well, John 17, verse 6 says, Christ there says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of this world." And here that word manifested means to cause to become clearly revealed. Christ causes that you, through the Spirit, to see God, to see Christ. Because what does he reveal? He reveals himself. He goes on to say there, "I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you have sent me." So Jesus reveals that he is the Christ, the Son of God, sent into this world as the Savior of sinners. In Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." He reveals that he has been sent into this world by his Father. For God so loved this world that he sent his only beloved Son, and that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus reveals that he's been sent into this world to live in perfect obedience to the will of his Father, something that you and I cannot do, something that condemns us. But Jesus reveals also how God's justice was satisfied in him when he laid down his life on the cross, where even here in this very passage, he's on the way to Jerusalem to lay down his life, to bear the wrath of God for the sins of his people. And here Christ came to die for those chosen from eternity. Not for every person in this world, but for those whom his Father, whose Father's good pleasure has chosen from eternity. And Christ here says that all things were delivered to Christ, and that included the whole work of redemption. And that meant for Christ that he himself first would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He was delivered to Caesar to be crucified, by Caesar to be crucified. Delivered to bear the wrath of God on the cross for sin. But that was the Father's good pleasure. Because that is the only way that his favor could turn towards us in Christ. That is the only way that God's wrath against sin could be appeased, when his justice is satisfied and his anger could be turned away and his favor could be directed now to sinners through Jesus Christ. And he reveals that through his word, as he said, through his word to our minds, but more importantly, by his Spirit to our hearts. Because that favor and that good pleasure of God the Father needs to be known in our hearts, where the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. Because in verse 22, Christ said he reveals it to whoever he wills, to his chosen, to his people. Even though the gospel comes to everyone who hears, And yet not everyone who hears believes. Why? Christ reveals it not only to our physical ears and eyes, but to our spiritual ears and eyes. To see by faith that God reveals himself to us by his Spirit. And then we realize that we cannot do this ourselves. But it is God who elects sinners. It is Christ who redeems sinners and the Spirit who sanctifies sinners and applies that work to the hearts. That we are entirely dependent on God from beginning to end, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. And that is why all the glory will also go to him in the end. That's why salvation is not by works but by grace through faith, and that it is the gift of God. And therefore to also end in the glory of God alone. And that is why Christ said, do not rejoice in these external blessings. Because we're all called to follow Christ and to live like Christ, to love like Christ, to show kindness and meekness and patience like Christ. But we see that we are not able to live up to God's standards and to God's perfection. We can often become discouraged in our own life because of it. We can even doubt our own salvation when we do not find what we expect to find or what we're supposed to find. But Christ reveals the good pleasure of God towards us. That he reveals that our salvation is by grace and not by our works. As Romans 5:8 says, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Where is that joy? It is when you are in Christ by faith that you are in the good pleasure of the Father. That then and there, God's favor and God's face is towards you. Because he sees you in Christ Jesus. Then you stand in that new relationship with God, where all your sins and shortcomings have been forgiven and they are covered by the righteousness of Christ, where God sees you as if you perfectly obey all his commandments, as if you never had any sin, totally forgiven. That alone can give that internal peace and spiritual joy and comfort. That God's anger does not rest upon us if we are in Christ Jesus, but that his face and favor are towards us, for in his favor there is life. And then there is eternal life in the soul. That alone can give that comfort and that peace and that joy. And Christ here, he rejoices in your salvation. And there's joy when Christ reveals that good pleasure of the Father to your heart. That God's favor is towards you. Because then all the blessings are yours in Christ. And then the joy and peace of God's favor remains in you. Despite what happens around us or to us. This is a joy that no one can take away. This is a peace that none can take away. This is a comfort that the most uncomfortable things in the world cannot disrupt. And Jesus here, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And so how can we live in this joy? Well, this joy is the fruit of the Spirit of God. And Christ himself was filled without measure with the Spirit. And when you live by faith in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And joy is the fruit produced by the Spirit. With everything that is happening now in this world, we need this joy more than ever. When the fleeting things of this world can get washed away so quickly, Our world's turned upside down. We need lasting joy and peace. A joy that rejoices even when the heart and the eyes weep for what is happening outside. But it is a joy and a peace that dwells in the hearts. It's the joy of Christ, and it's Christ's joy to reveal this good pleasure to the heart through His Spirit. And then Him alone is that lasting joy, a joy that this world can never reproduce, a joy that this world can never provide, but it is a joy that God gives. It's a joy that God freely gives. Seek Him for this. Ask Him if you do not know this joy. But do not let the emptiness of this world be a substitute for that joy. But find that eternal joy that is founded only upon the immovable foundation of the eternal God. And God can give this even to little children. You do not need to be a worldly wise man, because it's God who reveals it to babes. It is God who reveals it with the Spirit, and He can do that to the young and to the old. None are too young and none are too old, but it's God who brings it to the hearts. And so rejoice. Rejoice that you've been given the good pleasure of the Father through the will of His Son, through the power of His Holy Spirit, that you can rejoice, seeing that this world passes by, that it passes by even as our lives do as a shadow, but that there is a city to come whose builder and maker is God, where there will be joy forevermore, never ending, never to be uprooted, never to be taken away, a joy that begins here in this life, a peace that passes understanding, a comfort, and a joy, a rejoicing in what God has done for you. Let this encourage and spur you on in whatever you may face in the coming days or years of your life. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen.